Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today, well, today we're talking about the not-so-hidden agenda of Joe Biden and the Marxist Democrats to dismantle the United States Constitution. Breitbart today reports that the president's Rose Garden event highlighted the administration's planned executive actions on gun control. The president also emphasized the dreams of gun control advocates, including a new assault rifle ban and reversing liability protections for gun manufacturers. The Democrats' long-held dream of undoing the Second Amendment is second only to their long-held dream of undoing the United States Constitution. Proverbs 29, verse 2 tells us, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are unpacking the plan by the Democrats to undo the U.S. Constitution, nullify the Declaration of Independence, and neutralize the Second Amendment concerning the right of every U.S. citizen to keep and bear arms. We will, of course, rightly be connecting this effort by the Democrats to kill the Second Amendment with their support of Black Lives Matter and their Marxist agenda. Why do you think all this fuss over 150-year-old Confederate statues? Do you think that's a protest about slavery? Nothing of the kind. Rather, it's a calculated plan to undo the work of our founding fathers. Not only that, well, we're going to be discussing the astonishing advances in communication with travelers outside of our planet and the onslaught of biometric technology, both external and internal, that is drastically reshaping our global society. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these people that you're gathering now and all these people who will listen to this program in the archives. And we know that America has a shelf life. And we know that in order for the New World Order to rise, America has to fall. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen right now. The Bible tells us that we're looking for a better country. We are looking for an heavenly country. And that's where our focus ultimately needs to be. Hebrews 11:16 says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." So, Lord, we just commit this time to you, and we ask you, Lord, as much as we love America, and we're heartbroken to see the condition that it's in, we're heartbroken to see the wicked, evil people who are ruling this country, we know, Lord, that in Daniel chapter 2, it's still in effect. We know that in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 20 and 21, kind of amazing how those verse numbers keep popping up, 2021. Daniel 2021 says, "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." So we commit this time to you, Lord, and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. My mind is buzzing with 85 different things right now. It's a wonder that I can keep three straight thoughts in my head. Suffice to say, welcome to the show. Very glad that you're here on this Friday afternoon. We are having a countdown to our, on May 21st, the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore, the grand opening. It's going to start 10 a.m. and it's going to go to 6 p.m. Friday, May 22nd. And many of you have already written to me to say that you're coming and that you're going to be here for our old-fashioned gospel prophecy tent revival on the 22nd. And we're very, very glad that so many of you are able to come and to join us for this great celebratory weekend. Today, we're talking about the Biden gun grab. We're talking about all sorts of things having to do with the Second Amendment. So let's start with a little clip talking about the importance of the Second Amendment and why we need to have it. Here from Prager University, Will Witt, talking about gun ownership is a constitutional right.
Imagine if the government was the only one with guns, and then it turned on its people. This is exactly why the Second Amendment exists. Here's what it states. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. The founders knew that government, if it got too big, could use armies to oppress its people. And it's true. Just look at tyrannical regimes, and you will discover that citizens are forbidden to own guns. So the founders empowered Americans to protect themselves by giving them the right to keep and bear arms. Some may argue that the Second Amendment doesn't apply to the individual, but that idea is completely false. America was founded upon the principle that rights belong to individuals, not the state. The founding fathers were gun owners, gun collectors, and hunters. They also had won their independence with their guns in hand. Since our country inherently upholds individual rights, there is no doubt that the Second Amendment was written with American citizens in mind. And on top of that, what if someone broke into your home in the middle of the night? What if there was an active shooter at your workplace, at the mall, or at your school? Or what if a terrorist attack happened in your city? The police and the military exist to protect American citizens, but they don't always make it there on time, especially when you have seconds to protect you and the people you love. Wouldn't you feel safer if you had a gun? The Second Amendment is one of the most important rights in our Constitution. The right for you to own a gun is a right that protects you, your family, and your country, and it must be defended. I'm Will Witt.
It's an interesting thing that the First Amendment to our Constitution concerns freedom of speech, and the Second Amendment to our Constitution concerns the right to keep and bear arms. Why do you think that our founding fathers put those two amendments in that order? Because there is nothing more important than the right to have free speech, the right to be able to speak your mind without fear of reprisal from the government, without fear of being locked into prison, without fear of being executed like they are in countries like North Korea and China and all sorts of places like that. We call this the Great American Experiment. And for the last 245 years, this great experiment has been going on. And we are a country that is unique in human history. And it is the right of the people of self-determination, founded on the principle that our rights come from God. And there has never been in human history a nation like the nation of the United States of America. And we are a special nation. We are a nation that was founded by Puritans and pilgrims who came over here with the Great Bible and the Geneva Bible and the King James Bible. The very first textbook in America, in any American college or university, was the King James Bible. Harvard had it. Yale had it. Can you imagine going to Harvard or Yale right now, two of the most far-left liberal institutions on the face of the earth that proudly teach 72 different genders? Can you imagine if you went to Yale or Harvard or Princeton right now and you wanted to make your stand on the King James Bible, which was their very first textbook? Can you imagine what would happen? This is how far that we've come. And this great experiment of America is in danger of coming to an end. And of course, we've been telling you that for quite some time. We have been telling you for years now that America, a nation that was raised up by the hand of God to preach the gospel, is about to be forever betrayed and silenced by the very people who were sworn to protect her, her elected leaders. And this is where we are in America. The very first graphic I ever made for Now the End Begins, the very first image had to do with the betrayal of America. And God put that on my heart way back in the very, very beginning. And for those of you who have been following Now the End Begins for a long time, you know that when we first started, we were a lot more political than we are right now. And there's a reason for that, is because God really had to get a hold of my heart, and he had to really show me these things that were going on and things that were taking place. And I started out, Now the End Begins 12 years ago, was about 38% Bible and 62% politics. And that's gone the other way now. And now we are, everything that we talk about, we relate to the Bible. We still talk about politics because God deals with nations. And we find that right in the book of Acts. We find that when Jesus Christ commissioned the Apostle Paul, he said that he was going to preach and teach before the Jews, the Gentiles, and before kings. Now, when you have Jesus Christ sending the Apostle Paul before kings, that's politics. That's exactly where you see politics. And politics is all through your Bible. Jesus says this in Acts 9:14. Acts 9:15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Talking about Saul. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And there you see, right in Acts 9:15, Saul is a chosen vessel unto Jesus Christ to bear the name of Jesus Christ before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And so we see that politics has a very important place in the Bible, and that is where God deals with men. God deals with men through nations. In the church age, he's dealing with men heart to heart. And we are in the age of grace. We are in the closing moments of the church age. But as soon as we are removed in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, God is going right back again. The dispensation will change, and God will return to once again dealing with nations. And of course, the time of Jacob's trouble primarily deals with the nation of Israel. In Zephaniah 3:8 and 9, we read this, Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I will rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then, at the second coming, will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. So we started Now the End Begins because God put on my heart that America was about to go down. And for the first 8 years of the Obama presidency, we wrote over 1,300 articles exposing the agenda of Barack Obama and his New World Order leaders. And we were really, really, really hard on Barack Obama, and rightly so. Obama was the one that brought in same-sex marriage and protectors for transgenders and all that different stuff. And he's the one that declared June to be Pride Month. And Obama did tremendous damage to this country. And then in 2016, God raised up Donald Trump. And we got a 4-year window of grace. That window closed. That window closed on January 20th when Joe Biden, our pretend president, was sworn in. But America is in deep, deep trouble today. And it's not the type of trouble from which America can be saved out from. We are watching the end of America. And I think for anybody who reads and believes their King James Bible, you understand why I say that. But when you look in the Bible, especially those verses that I just read to you from Acts 9 and Zephaniah chapter 3, You see very clearly that God is concerned with nations. God raises up kings. He takes down kings. He is going to assemble the nations in the time of the Great Tribulation so he can destroy every single nation that comes against the nation of Israel. So politics is a huge part of the Bible. Politics is a very large part of Now the End Begins. Today, I want to talk about Joe Biden and his, again, the Democrats. They have tried this repeatedly over the last 40 years to try and get rid of the Second Amendment. And will they be successful? Well, never before has a period of time existed that exists right now, April 9th, 2021. The Democrats have power in the Congress. They have power in the Senate. They have power in the White House. They have the entire fake news media to support every lie that they tell and every false statement that they make. Donald Trump is not in power. And I don't think he is ever coming back to power. People are talking about, well, just wait till 2024. 2024, I'm seeing the rapture happening next month. That's what I see. Again, I'm not calling that date. Please don't think I'm setting a date because I'm not. But it is my fervent hope and it's my fervent prayer that the Lord will come and get us on May 22nd during our revival here in Florida. What do I base that on? I base that on my desire for the rapture. I base that on my desire to get out of this wicked, wicked world and to go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I base it on. The Bible says that we are to give the Lord no rest. Give him no rest until he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. Isaiah 62:7 says, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, we know that doctrinally, Isaiah 62:7 takes place at the second coming, when King Jesus receives the kingdom that his Father has prepared for him to inherit. And we know that at the second coming, at the Battle of Armageddon, Satan and his hordes are going to be bound in chains for 1,000 years, and King Jesus is going to raise up a temple in Jerusalem, and he is going to sit on the throne of his father David and rule in righteousness for 1,000 years. And that's what Isaiah is referring to in 62:7, where he says, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. But in order for Jesus to return with us, Revelation 19:14, at the second coming, we have to first have the 1,000-year in order for Jesus to return at the second coming, we first have to have the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, which includes the Great Tribulation for 3.5 years and the Battle of Armageddon. But in order to have the Battle of Armageddon and the Great Tribulation and the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, you have to have the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And so when I read Isaiah 62:7, where Isaiah is saying, and give him, the Lord, no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth, my participation in fulfilling Isaiah 62:7 is say, okay, Lord, come and get us right now. Pull us out of here so that the timeline of events that need to take place can begin. And these things cannot fully begin until the church is removed on flight 777 in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. So if you're a born-again believer and you're reading Isaiah 62:7, the way that you fulfill that to give God no rest till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth is you've got to pray and say, Lord, you need to come get us right here, right now. Because without that event of the pre-tribulation rapture, none of the other main events on the end times timeline can take place. And so it is my prayer, not my prediction, but it is my prayer that the Lord come and get us during our Pentecost weekend, May 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, here in St. Augustine, Florida. And it's filling up fast. We have a lot of people who say that they're coming and they're signing up, and it's very, very exciting. If you would like to attend our great weekend that we're going to have May 21st, 22nd, and 23rd here in St. Augustine, Florida, just go to nowtheendbegins.com and you'll see at the top of every single page a banner saying, come to the NTEB Revival. If you are a senior citizen, there is no charge. If you are not a senior citizen, there is a charge. Everyone will receive an NTEB drink cup, an NTEB t-shirt, and we're going to feed you with some amazing Southern barbecue when you get here. So if you think that you would like to come and be a part of this weekend, we're going to have the grand opening for the bookstore on Friday. We're going to have a all-day revival, old-fashioned tent revival on beautiful Kelly Farm. And we're going to give you a t-shirt, a cup. We're going to feed you Southern barbecue. And we're going to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people will attend. I told you from the very beginning, I understand that everybody in different states, some states you can't leave without a vaccine passport. Some places are making you take the vaccine. And we do not want you to take the vaccine to come here. If that's the choice, then don't come, because we definitely don't want you to take the vaccine. But if you are able to make it, we're coming up on just under 100 people who are, reserved for that weekend. And we do have room for a little bit more. So if you're able to come, we are inviting you. And, that would be fantastic if you could, if you could be here. Jeanette is asking me, what age is considered a senior citizen? Well, my answer to that is, if you think you're a senior citizen, you probably are. But I think historically, 65 is the cutoff for being a senior citizen. I think that would be a good round number, 65. But again, if you feel like a senior citizen, if you think that you're a senior citizen, then you probably are a senior citizen. So senior citizens, there's no charge. Everybody else, there is a charge. And it's going to be, Lord willing, it's going to be a really, really good time, a great weekend. And we are hoping and praying that the rapture will be that weekend. And all right, so there you have it. Now, let's get back to our program today. Where do we start? What clip do we start with here? All right, let's take a listen to Joe Biden himself, all right? This is why we play audio clips, so that you can hear what the people themselves have to say about the things that we talk about, what they said. So here's Joe Biden saying that no amendment to the United States Constitution is absolute. And I find that to be a very curious statement. No amendment to the Constitution, Joe Biden says, is absolute. Take a listen.
Thank you, Kamala, Madam Vice President. Thank you very much. You know, we're joined today by the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who I've asked to prioritize gun violence. It's also good to see the second gentleman who is here. And it's good to see the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, who cares deeply about this issue as well. And I look out there and I see so many members of Congress who've led in this fight, so many of you who've never given up, so many of you are absolutely determined, as Murfin and others are, to get this done. We got a long way to go. It seems like we always have a long way to go.
We'll just stop him right there. It's sad. I don't like anything that Joe Biden stands for. I don't like his politics. I don't like his pro-abortion stances. I don't like anything that Joe Biden stands for. But to me, it's sad. He's out of breath. He can barely speak. He mumbles. You would think that he would be his lifelong dream of becoming the president of the United States finally came true, by hook or by crook. But his lifelong dream finally came true, and he is in such bad physical and mental shape that he doesn't look like he's enjoying a single moment of it. He rarely smiles. He never looks happy. And he struggles so badly to read the teleprompter because his mind really can't compute what he's reading. And so to me, it's just, look, if you have compassion for your fellow man, as if you're a Christian, I hope that you do. We can hate what people stand for, but if we're a Christian, we're not called to hate people, that's for sure. And I don't hate Joe Biden. But to me, it's heartbreaking to see, you know, how he's being used by the New World Order. And it's going to be even more heartbreaking from a human compassion perspective when they just throw him off to the side like a piece of trash and install Kamala Harris as the next president. But it's just it's hard to listen to him, not because of what he's saying, how he says it. He can barely speak.
But also today we're taking steps to confront not just the gun crisis, but what is actually a public health crisis. Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment. They're phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about.
Again, we'll stop him right there. Joe Biden just said two back-to-back lies. Because what he is advocating is absolutely an attack on the Second Amendment. If you remember when Barack Obama was president and they had all those protests out in the streets, you know, from the radical leftists to people like Occupy Wall Street and all those people that Obama allowed to just rule the streets. And the only times that they clamped down on people is when the conservatives or the patriots or the Christians wanted to stand up and say something. So what the Obama administration did is they created something, and a lot of people don't recall this, but they created something called a free speech zone. And that was something that took place during the Obama years, where they created a free speech zone at a protest that you were able to stand there. And you could say whatever that you wanted to say within that zone of free speech. Now, if you don't believe me, I'm going to post a picture, but you can find this on Google. The Obama administration created free speech zones where Christians and patriots and other people could stand and they could say whatever they wanted to say. But you and I, who use logic and reason, we understand that if free speech is in a zone, if free speech is behind a fence somewhere, if free speech is in a sequestered area of where the public discourse is happening, then it's not really free speech at all. And we understand that our founding fathers created the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, and then the amendments, the Acts of Congress amendments to the Constitution. And free speech is not a privilege. It is the right of Americans. Free speech is not a privilege, not according to our founding fathers. Our founding fathers said that free speech was the right, the God-given right of every American. So when you talk about common sense, orders regarding gun control, what you rapidly wind up with is not what the Second Amendment says, which is that we have the right to keep and bear arms as United States citizens. And all of these quote-unquote common sense gun control laws, they are designed bit by bit, piece by piece, and bite by bite to remove from every American the right to keep and bear arms. So when Biden finally stopped mumbling, what he said was a complete lie.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. We call it freedom of speech. From the very beginning, you couldn't own any weapon you wanted to own. From the very beginning of this.
All right, there we go. And that is the classic liberal lie, where they say that, they try to say that the idea of free speech is equivalent to not being allowed to yell fire in a movie theater. The founding fathers never implied that. They never thought that. They never wrote about that. The founding fathers wrote the amendment, our first amendment of free speech, so that Americans would have the right to criticize the government without fear of being thrown in jail. That's what the First Amendment of free speech actually is. It has nothing to do with, am I allowed to yell fire in a crowded movie theater, or am I allowed to stand up and publicly insult somebody, or anything like that. The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's what the American First Amendment of free speech is all about. So, what do Democrats like to do? They like to immediately say something that's completely not true. So, when you read the First Amendment, you see very, very clearly that it has nothing to do with your personal speech about yelling fire in a crowded movie theater or anything like that. It is the right to be able to criticize the government and to be able to go to your government and say, hey, we've got to make these changes. And if we don't make these changes, then we're going to protest. And if the protest doesn't work, then we're going to throw the whole thing off. And that's exactly what Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers had in mind when they wrote this. On July 4th, 1776, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, Daniel 2, 20 and 21, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But, and I said all that to say this, But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Now, our founding fathers were well aware of how bad life can be when the government turns against the citizens. America, a lot of people like to say that America was founded on rebellion. I don't believe that. When you study how America came into being, the people who came here from Europe, they didn't want to fight. They didn't want to live in rebellion to King George. And they tried very, very hard to have a peaceful coexistence. But when that wasn't possible, the only way to sever the relationship and the only way to establish the United States of America was to do the thing that everybody did not want to do. They had to fight the strongest army on the face of the earth. They had to fight the British Redcoats. And that was a war that most people believed could not be won. And indeed, for a short period of time, the British took over New York City and the British took over Washington, D.C. Now, that didn't last very long, thankfully. But that was a very, very, very hard battle. That's why we celebrate Independence Day on July 4th every single year. That's why we remind ourselves the cost at which freedom came. Freedom is not free. People have to die in order to secure your freedom. This is why we are so appreciative of our first responders, of our police. We're so appreciative of everybody in law enforcement and paramedics and the firefighters and all the people who come when there's a problem. And we're absolutely beyond grateful to the men and women of the United States military who risk their lives every single day to make sure that America stays free. But if we're going to be real Americans, we have to understand that our founding fathers knew that there was a time for talk and there was a time for fighting. And they were willing to fight for their freedom. And you and I live in America because American soldiers were willing to lay down their lives to battle the British to obtain our freedom. As Bible-believing Christians, we have freedom in Jesus Christ, but that freedom only came because he laid his life down and shed his blood willingly to pay the sin debt that you and I have with God. Freedom on any level, whether you're talking about a country or whether you're talking about eternity, freedom is never free. It always comes at a cost. So, the Democrats, when they talk about free speech, they immediately throw up the canard that, well, you can't yell fire in a movie theater. I never thought that that was possible anyway. But why did they say that? Because it changes the direction of the conversation. When they talk about the Second Amendment, the very first thing that a lot of the Democrats will say, well, no one is looking to take away your hunting rifles. The Second Amendment has nothing to do with going deer hunting or pheasant hunting. My dad used to love to hunt. A couple of my brothers used to like to hunt. I have been pheasant hunting. I don't really care for hunting a lot. I would rather go like skeet shooting. But the Second Amendment has nothing to do with anybody's right to go hunting. The Second Amendment has to do with your right to keep and bear arms against an attack from our own government. And so whenever you're having these conversations with liberals and they say these incredibly stupid and intentionally misleading things like, well, you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater, or no one's trying to take away your hunting rifle, you need to shut down the conversation immediately at that point and to establish the principle and the premise that the Second Amendment has nothing to do with recreational hunting of animals. And the First Amendment has nothing to do with yelling fire in a movie theater. And so if you're going to debate with liberals, something I never recommend doing, if you're going to debate with liberals, you have to be very aware when they begin to attempt to change the course of the conversation from something intelligent to something idiotic. And anybody who tries to conflate a hunting rifle with the Second Amendment is somebody who's an idiot. But worse than that, that is somebody who is intentionally trying to mislead you. The Second Amendment has nothing to do with recreational hunting of animals.
Second Amendment existed. Certain people weren't allowed to have weapons. So the idea is just bizarre to suggest that some of the things we're recommending are contrary to the Constitution. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic. Let me say it again. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic, and it's an international embarrassment. You know, we saw it again last night as I was coming to the Oval Office. I got the word that in South Carolina, a physician with his wife, two grandchildren, and a person working at his house was gunned down, all five. So many people, so many of the people sitting here today know that well, unfortunately. You know, they know what it's like when the seconds change your life forever. I've had the pleasure of getting.
So there you have Joe Biden saying that there is a gun violence epidemic and everybody's applauding and everybody's cheering. And he wants you to think that gun violence is absolutely the biggest plague that this country has. The Pew Research Center says in 2017, 39,773 people died from gun-related injuries in the United States, according to the CDC. This figure includes gun murders and gun suicides, along with three other less common types of gun-related deaths tracked by the CDC. Deaths that were unintentional, involved law enforcement, or whose circumstances cannot be determined. So, in 2017, the CDC said that in America, 39,773 people died from gun-related injuries. Now, that seems like a lot of people, 39,773. But in the same year, 164,250 people died in alcohol-related car crashes. I'll say that again. In the same year that 39,773 people died in a gun-related injury, in the same year, 164,250 people died in alcohol-related car crashes. That means 400% more people that died of gun-related injuries died of alcohol-related injuries. So when you hear these liberals talking about gun violence out of control, it's the worst plague, it's unbelievable, it has to be stopped, it pales in comparison to the number of people who are dying in alcohol-related car crashes by 400%.
To meet in awful circumstances, many of you many of you who've lost your children, your husbands, your wives, you know, they know what it's like to bury a piece of their soul deep in the earth. We understand that. Mark and Jackie, I want to tell you, it's always good to see you, but not under these circumstances. I want to say, before I introduce the rest of the folks, is, you know, what a lot of people have not been through, what they've been through, don't understand. It takes a lot of courage to come to an event like this. They're absolutely, absolutely determined to make change. But Mark and Jackie, whose son Daniel was a first grader in Sandy Hook Elementary School, Daniel loves sports, loves outdoor sports, getting muddy. I see my friend Fred Gutenberg. His daughter, Jamie, was a freshman at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. She was an accomplished dancer. I see Brandon Wolf, who had the shooting at the Impulse, at the Pulse Club, nightclub. He survived, but his two best friends died. Greg Jackson, who was just walking down the street when he was caught in the crossfire of a gunfight. And, of course, I see a close friend of Jill's and mine, Congresswoman Gabby Gifford, who is here, who was speaking with her constituents in front of a grocery store in her state when she was shot and a member of her staff was killed. You know, they're here, and their pain is immense. And you know, what a lot of you, hopefully many of you, don't know, is you've gone through a trauma. No matter how much you work to make sure others don't go through it, every time you show up at an event like this, it brings back when you got that phone call. It brings back the immediacy.
So what do you hear Joe Biden saying? Everything is about feelings and emotions. 2017, 39,377 people died in gun-related injuries. In 2017, 862,300 babies were murdered in abortion. How about those numbers? How come nobody gets emotional about 862,300 babies in America in 2017 who were killed in abortion? So whenever you hear the Democrats talking about the Second Amendment, the very first thing that they need to do is to get you feeling on an emotional level. Now, every single day around the world, over 151,000 people die of something. And it's always tragic when somebody dies in a gun-related event. But, and it splashed all across the fake news media, but did you know that more people are stabbed each year than are shot each year? And nobody ever talks about banning knives or sharp instruments. 400% more people die in alcohol-related car crashes every single year. But nobody ever talks about banning cars. Nobody ever talks about banning alcohol. Nobody ever talks about any of those things. So we see very, very quickly that this idea of getting rid of our Second Amendment in pieces, it has to do with ultimately getting rid of the Constitution of the United States and our Declaration of Independence. And every time that they chip away at our amendments, this is exactly what they have in mind. They are trying to get rid of our U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence. I want you to listen to this clip, and I'm not going to play the whole thing, but this is Piers Morgan talking with Tucker Carlson about free speech. And he makes a really, really valid point, and I want you to listen to what Piers Morgan, I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but I do agree with him on some things. But in this clip, when he talked with Tucker the other day, he had a really, really good point about free speech that he was making, and I want you to hear it. Take a listen to Piers Morgan talking with Tucker.
When Piers Morgan was forced off the air last month, we were told it was because he had insulted the fake duchess from Los Angeles. But on some level, it wasn't really about her or even about him. It was about all of us and our right to say what we think is true in a supposedly free country. It was about free speech and the freedom of conscience. He, of course, is still editor-at-large at Daily Mail, and what he writes is still worth reading. But he's not on television right now. And again, that has implications for the freedom of speech around the world. Here's part of our conversation.
What I found was over 5 years, we trebled the ratings on Good Morning Britain. The last day, ironically, was, as you said, the first day we beat the BBC ever. And we had trebled our ratings. So you would have thought people might be thanking me. Instead, I was basically corralled into a position where I was told you've either got to apologise for effectively disbelieving Meghan Markle's version of events here, or your position is untenable and you have to leave. And my gut was, I was going to be damned if I was going to apologise for something that I believe. And I just wasn't going to go down that road. I've seen too many people, when they're bullied by the woke brigade, into apologising. We saw it with Sharon Osbourne. She was bullied into apologising for defending me against a disgusting slur that I'm a racist. And rather than the person who was accusing her apologising to me, Cheryl Underwood, for accusing me falsely of being a racist, Sharon had to apologise for her passionate defence of me. And then she lost her job anyway. We saw recently the editor of Teen Vogue. Before she could even start, she apologised for years about stuff she tweeted as a 17-year-old kid. But that wasn't enough. So apologies don't ever get you anywhere. I don't believe Meghan Markle. Now, what I didn't know, and what was a fascinating thing to discover after I left, was that Meghan Markle, between the Monday and Tuesday, had made a personal complaint to the boss of ITV, Dame Carolyn McCall. I didn't know that. I was never told that. I don't know what pressure she was directly putting on, but she did, I know, personally contact her. I also know she had personally contacted, along with Prince Harry, Ofcom, which is a government regulatory body designed to regulate what we put out on news shows. So I was under attack from Miss Markle, both directly to my boss and to the government regulatory body, under attack to basically conform to her version of events. And I had to believe her. And if I didn't, I was a callous racist and I should be condemned and ultimately, as it turned out later that day, lose my job. And I think that's a pretty perilous slope, a journalist's job, which is to express skepticism about some of the more outlandish claims, like the secret wedding, like the story about Archie becoming a prince and so on, even down to small stuff like she'd never had any interest in the royals when there are pictures of her draped over Buckingham Palace railings when she was a teenager and so on. I should be able to be a journalist and question the veracity of those statements. And frankly, I should be allowed, in a democracy that values freedom of speech, I should be allowed to say, I'm sorry, I don't believe you. But I wasn't. I wasn't allowed to do that. It was Meghan's way and Meghan's narrative and Meghan's truth. That phrase was actually used by Oprah Winfrey. This is your truth. What does that mean? When do we get to your truth? This is the kind of defense that it was the kind of thing we would hear liberals attack Donald Trump for reinventing facts, for creating his own truth. But when Meghan Markle does it, the same liberals that attack Donald Trump cheer and applaud and say, this is her truth and it must be believed. And if you don't believe it, you're a racist. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not a racist. I just don't believe her.
And no one points out the kind of underlying irony is that here you have two of the most powerful people in the world, in Oprah Winfrey and Meghan Markle, both claiming to be victims. They're oppressed. They have more power than you. They got you fired, but you're oppressing them. The strong pretending to be weak in order to crush people below them. Does anyone notice this dynamic?
So there you have Piers Morgan, and he's talking with Tucker about what he went through when he dared to criticize Meghan Markle. And if you know Meghan Markle, she is the wife of Prince Harry, and her and the prince have left Buckingham Palace. They've left England. They live in Los Angeles. They live this massively privileged, entitled lifestyle. They are not allowed to be criticized. And Piers Morgan was fired because he raised excellent points about the prince and his wife, and he was driven out. So the ultimate goal of Democrats in America in 2021 is not simply to get rid of the Second Amendment. It is to get rid of the freedom of speech and every other amendment, to get rid of the Declaration of Independence, and to get rid of the United States Constitution. And this is where we are right now. So take a listen to this. Here is a Second Amendment advocate talking again with Tucker about the Democrats' gun grab. And that is what is currently underway at the moment. That's what's making all the big headlines today, is Joe Biden and the Democrats attempting to grab guns once again.
So 10 people dead, that seemed like a good pretext to get something you've been calling for a long time if you're a Washington Democrat. And of course, they wasted no time in using the murders yesterday to begin their latest attempt at disarming you. You didn't commit a crime, but they want you to suffer for what happened yesterday in Boulder. Watch.
It's a sad reminder. COVID is not the only epidemic in our country. We have to confront the devastating, unrelenting epidemic of gun violence that steals thousands of innocent lives across this country. I've already committed to bringing universal background checks legislation to the floor of the Senate.
For years, Democrats have pushed for action to stop this killing with common sense reform that will save lives. Now we can act, and we will.
This hearing, I hope, will open a conversation about constitutional, common sense ways to reduce gun violence in America.
Inaction has made this horror completely predictable. Inaction by this Congress makes us complicit.
Yeah, people surrounded by armed soldiers are telling you you don't have a right to have a gun because some lunatic in another state committed a senseless crime. Right. Common sense gun reform. They're never more specific. Right now, the only clear legislative path Democrats have to change gun laws in this country would be by eliminating the filibuster and making this officially a one-party state. That would change the country forever. For the next 2 years, Democrats could pass any law they wanted, and as you know, they absolutely would. So far, they've not been able to get rid of the filibuster, but Democrats are already using yesterday's shooting to propose doing just that.
The question is, can Washington actually work? Or do we need to get rid of that filibuster? I actually think this is going to be another indictment of the filibuster. And this is one more example of why, in the least, we need significant filibuster reform.
The problem is in the Senate. Even with a majority, a slim majority, because of the filibuster, it's going to be very, very difficult to get anything done. You know, the filibuster, to many of us, is a tool, an instrument for government gridlock. We need to do away with the filibuster.
Yeah. So maybe this was why. Remember those two kind of lame Senate candidates running for the kind of lame party in Washington and Georgia in January? This is why it was worth electing them, but of course we didn't. Anyway, Democrats in Congress are not alone in their push for gun control. The women of The View agree. Television talk show host Sunny Hostin, who doubtless has bodyguards, she lives in a 10-bedroom, 10-bath mansion, wants you to know that owning a gun makes her feel like she's being held hostage.
That is not freedom, because I feel like a hostage right now. I feel like a hostage to the selfish people that insist on owning these types of weapons. That is not freedom in this country. You are not a patriot because you think you have the right to own these types of weapons. You are not a patriot. You should be taking care of your fellow Americans.
Again, that has nothing to do with fact. That has everything to do with feeling. If you're an American citizen, you are allowed to own guns. Plain and simple.
Okay, Mansion Lady, if you're so concerned about it, why don't you disarm your bodyguards? The ones at your house, the ones at work. And tell us how you like living in this country, with thanks to your ideas, is becoming increasingly chaotic and dangerous without any firearm around to protect you. Oh, you don't want to do that. You want to lecture the rest of us as selfish gun owners holding you hostage. It's all pretty amusing. Colin Noir is a Second Amendment advocate. He joins us now to assess what is happening to our Second Amendment rights. Colin Noir, I appreciate your coming on tonight. So this is as predictable as you can imagine. Some lunatic commits a horrifying crime. Therefore, the rest of us aren't allowed to defend ourselves. Does this have any chance of happening, do you think?
Now? Yeah, largely because of the way things look in Congress. And as you pointed out earlier in your talking points, that's why that Georgia election was so incredibly important. And I know I made a series of videos talking about that. A lot of people didn't really heed that warning because they wanted just to vote along party lines, which, again, the lack of independent thought is becoming increasingly more dangerous.
So I got to wonder, like, why, if somebody does something horrible in Boulder, does that mean you need to strip from people the single most popular sporting rifle in America, the one that commits relatively few crimes? I mean, more people are killed by a factor of five by knives than by rifles in this country. Why are they so intent on taking this one firearm away?
Because honestly, if you really look at it, a lot of people like to undervalue what the Second Amendment was actually written for. And it was designed to be a check against the government. A lot of people don't like to talk about that aspect. Of course, it was also there to allow us to defend ourselves. But if you think about it, the AR-15, symbolically and literally, is the best defense against a tyrannical government. And then not only that, it serves as an excellent precursor for them to then inevitably get to the point where they really want to get to, which is essentially the handguns. See, they can sell the whole idea of the AR-15 needing to be banned because it's evil and it's only meant for killing, as they like to say, which is not true. And so once they get that, and then as you pointed out, it represents such a minor aspect of gun violence in this country, then we have another shooting that happens, which it will, and then they'll go ahead and use that to justify further restricting our rights again. And so they'll take a little bit at a time, wait for another tragedy, and take a little bit more after that. And so that's why I implore people, when they elect these officials, there are consequences for this, because they are supposed to be our representatives. And so as long as we continue to elect them without any recourse, whenever they do things like vote for gun control, we're going to continue to see this over and over and over again. And before you know it, we won't have a Second Amendment.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, Democrats...
And there you have it. They want to chip away piece by piece, bit by bit, and then before you know it, we won't have a Second Amendment. And that's exactly what they're doing now to it. And if they're not stopped, we're going to lose that. And when they came for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he turned to them and he said, "Now is your hour and the power of darkness." And all these things that we're seeing happening now, it is not about any other thing, either in America or around the world, than the orchestrated rise of Antichrist. Yesterday, we did a story called "As We Watch the Full Import of the Great Reset Come into View." It is a frightening and dystopian future the New World Order is bringing to us. And, I wrote this article yesterday, and it got hundreds and hundreds of comments. I wrote this article yesterday to show you that all these different things that are happening, some of these things are happening only in America. Most of these things are happening around the world, all right? Most other countries don't have freedom of speech built into their founding charters. Most other nations don't have the right to keep and bear arms built into their founding documents. America is really kind of unique from that respect. But from a larger picture, something that is happening in every nation around the world, the one world government is coming into view. Just a couple of days ago, speaking at the environmental charity Conservation International, Prince William slipped in the usual code word to tip his hat to the actual agenda that he and his New World Order buddies are promoting. This is what Prince William said just the other day. He said, "All of us, across all sectors of society and in every corner of the globe, must come together to fundamentally reset our relationship with nature and our trajectory as a species. That code word, reset, tells you everything you need to know with, well, everything. And yesterday I showed you how these four main things that are happening right now, they are all part and parcel of exactly the same thing. Now, we have something that is called the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is something that was triggered with the start of the COVID lockdowns back in March of 2020. And we started reporting on that not just as it was happening. We told you that these things were coming kind of before that they happened. And think about it. COVID-19, the lockdowns, the economic crashes, the mandatory mask wearing, the race riots, Antifa, ID 2020, Bill Gates, Black Lives Matter, the Declaration of Human Fraternity, Chrislam. Ponder for a moment on all of those things. When you've wrapped your head around all that, now wrap your head around this. Everything that we're experiencing from March of 2020 all the way up here, we're in the beginning of April in 2021, it is all part of something called the Great Reset. Now, with the Great Reset, we have something called the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Now, this nasty little bit of God-hating peace posturing comes to us straight from the pit of hell via the United Nations. And the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development envisions a world at peace without the interference of Almighty God who created it. I want you to listen to what their plan is in their own words, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Quote, this agenda, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, is a plan of action for people, planet, and prosperity. It also seeks to strengthen universal peace in larger freedom. We recognize that eradicating poverty in all its forms and dimensions, including extreme poverty, is the greatest global challenge and an indispensable requirement for sustainable development. All countries and all stakeholders acting in collaborative partnership will implement this plan. We are resolved to free the human race from the tyranny of poverty and want and to heal and secure our planet. We are determined to take the bold and transformative steps which are urgently needed to shift the world onto a sustainable and resilient path. As we embark on this collective journey, we pledge that no one will be left behind. Isn't that ironic? They say they pledge that nobody will be left behind. And this is a modern day revision of the Tower of Babel. And what they want to do is they want to bring in world peace without the King of Peace. They want to have peace and prosperity and keep God completely outside of the picture. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3 says this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So, the 2030 Sustainable Peace Plan is in direct opposition to the Word of God. And so the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development is right there alongside the Great Reset. And then you have the spiritual component of the Great Reset, something that we call the One World Religion of Chrislam. And in the One World Religion of Chrislam, what do we see? We see Pope Francis. He is implementing a covenant called the Declaration of Human Fraternity. And this is right up there with the Abraham Accords. This is right up there with the One World Religion. This is right up there with the absolute end times. They are building in Abu Dhabi right now the world headquarters of Chrislam. And supposedly, this building will be finished sometime in 2022. And that would be just fine with me if we are not here to see that. That would be just fine with me if we're taken in the rapture about a year before that building is released. So you have the Great Reset. You have the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. You have the One World Religion of Chrislam. And then you have something called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And all these things, the Great Reset, Chrislam, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, all of these things are part of the same thing. And they are all part of the rising government of Antichrist. These things are not put in place at the rapture. These things are in place when the rapture takes place. The Antichrist is only going to have 7 short years to get his agenda put through. And that is not enough time to be establishing all these things. So what do we see? We see that by the time that the Antichrist shows up, these things are already going to be in place. Now, a lot of you were commenting in the chat room about Janet Yellen. And Janet Yellen is the current Secretary of the Treasury. And Janet Yellen is calling for a global minimum tax, which is a unified single tax on corporations around the world. Now, this is not new. We warned you about the coming global tax back in November of 2019. So, a year and a half ago, we warned you that a global tax was coming. Joe Biden was installed as president. Donald Trump was not. And now, 3 months into the Biden administration, what do we see? We see the Secretary of the Treasury saying, now is the time for a global tax. But we told you that. We told you that back in 2019, that these things were coming. If you're a regular reader of Now the End Begins, you are probably 10 to 20 steps above the average person, whether they're saved or not saved, who does not follow Now the End Begins on a regular basis. Part of what we provide is we provide information for you, news from a biblical perspective, news from a prophetical perspective. So we warned you back in 2019 that a global tax was coming. Now, what's the importance of a global tax and what does it have to do with the end times? In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, at the first advent of Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we read this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. So, what do we see? And if you don't have a King James Bible, your Bible doesn't say tax, it says census. And that is absolutely not right. It is not true. The King James Bible is one of the only Bibles that tells you that it was a global tax, not a global census. Can a census be part of a tax? Absolutely. But census and tax are not the same thing. When you go to the store to get a can of soda and a sandwich, you pay tax on your lunch. But that store is not enrolling you in a census. So paying a tax and being enrolled in a census are two separate things. So in Luke chapter 2, what do we read? We read about a global tax. And that's why your King James Bible tells you tax, and your corrupt versions tell you it was a census. If you would like a King James Bible and you can't afford one, please send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. And if you will throw your NIV, ESV, ASV, RSV, if you'll stand up right now and throw your corrupt Bible into the garbage where it belongs and send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com, we're going to replace your Bible, your corrupt Bible, with a brand new King James Authorized Version Holy Bible. Info@nowtheendbegins.com. And we have been sending out lots and lots and lots of Bibles and gospel tracts lately. We're getting ready to put an order into the bookstore for 10 cases of Ruckman Reference Bibles. 10 cases of Bibles. And that we praise the Lord for that. This new system that we've been putting in place with the bookstore, we are expanding our shipping and receiving to a very, very, very high degree. So again, if you would like a brand new King James Bible and you can't afford one, send us an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. And I will be very, very happy to replace your corrupt Bible with a brand new Bible completely for free. All right. Global tax. Janet Yellen. She's talking about that this week. We warned you about that on November 25th, 2019. And if you subscribe to Now the End Begins, you are way ahead of the prophetical curve, no matter who else listens to whoever else, because we make it our job to keep you informed of prophecy as it takes place. Let's see what else we're going to talk about. Oh, here's another thing that we have time to talk about. In Portland, Oregon, the police are leaving the police force in record numbers. And the government, the liberal government of Portland, Oregon, is doing their very best to get rid of their police force. Here's why.
Got a mob of vandals targeting the Portland Police Association, burning debris, leaving anti-cop graffiti outside headquarters. That was just Saturday. This is more than 30 Portland cops and supervisors open up about why they are leaving the state's largest police force in droves, which means great numbers. One retiring detective telling the Oregonian the community shows zero support. The mayor and council ignore actual facts on crime and policing in favor of radical leftist and anarchist fantasy. I know they're 100% correct in that. We've been chronicling it. The officer is one of more than 100 who have reportedly left the bureau since July in one of the biggest waves of departures in recent memory. Here to react, Fox News analyst Lawrence Jones. Lawrence, can you blame them?
No. I mean, Chuck, the police chief is doing the best that he can to keep morale up. But when you have no support from, you know, the leadership in the city, I mean, what are you supposed to do? I think the community does support. I mean, when you look at all the polling, the community says they want good law enforcement. They want the bad apples gone. But when you have this movement that is getting the majority of the attention, it becomes a big problem. You know, so often when we cover these stories, and I've been to Portland, I can't go recently because Fox Security says it's just not safe for me to go. They know who I am at this point. You know, when we look at these stories, we normally simmer in on one city, but this is happening all across the country. You got Seattle, you got Philly, you got Chicago, 6 people dead over the weekend. No, 26, I think it was like over 20 that was shot. It is an epidemic in these liberal cities, and when you talk to them, they say, oh, it's just because of the pandemic. No, I've been reporting on these cities for 2 years, and there has been a lack of leadership there. So what do you do, Brian? The only thing I could come up with is offering an alternative to the people. Republicans getting involved, because if this is the way, I can't see these people getting reelected over and over again. They need an alternative. The people do.
Right, and the Republican Party has not done a good job putting up candidates. They throw up their hands. And the last candidate thrown against Todd Wheeler is from Antifa. She's got an Antifa background. So Wheeler wins and then realizes in order to he's going to show an understanding with a lot of these rioters, and they end up blowing up in his face. So when we look at this, police officers, they're being told across the country they're the problem. They're going to change policing, reimagining it, while emptying the prisons and then getting rid of qualified immunity so they can get sued on top of that. That's in New York, but it usually picks up from what New York does.
Yeah, when they have decided to reimagine it, then crime is going out of control. Shootings are happening, people being stabbed, can't go on a subway anymore. Look, Brian, no one has been more outspoken against when justice needs to happen, when people's civil liberties are violated. And unlike some people, I'm consistent on the issue. I oppose the state when they abuse their power, whether it's law enforcement or over-regulation in communities. But it comes to a point where government's first role is to protect its people. And right now, the communities aren't safe. And so something has to be done. An alternative has to be done.
So you heard him say that the first role of government is to protect its people. And when you go to these Democrat-run cities like Seattle and Portland and Chicago and Philadelphia, New York City, Newark in New Jersey, St. Louis in Missouri, when you go to these Democrat-run cities, the people are not safe on the streets, and they are not safe because of Trump supporters, and they are not safe because of Republicans. The people in Democrat-run cities are not safe because of the groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the Occupy groups and all these people. They are the ones that make the streets very, very unsafe. And so what do they want to do? They want to get rid of the police. They have this campaign to defund the police. Who benefits if there's no police force? Criminals benefit. Can you imagine what it would be like if there was no police force in America, if they actually defunded the police? People would be openly stabbed and murdered and raped on the streets. I mean, I'm talking in broad daylight. If they got rid of the police force in America, this country would be finished in less than a month, and criminals would be completely in control. So, who is it that wants to get rid of the police in America? It's the Democrats, not the Republicans, not the Trump supporters. It is the Democrats that want to get rid of the very people who work to keep us safe. All right, we're coming to the end of our time today, but I wanted to play one more clip for you. This is called The Countdown to Disclosure, The Secret Technology Behind Space Force. And in just a couple of weeks in America, the Pentagon is going to release what they know and what they've been hiding about UFOs making contact with people here on planet Earth. In June, the Pentagon is going to release their findings, and it is creating quite a buzz throughout Washington, D.C.
I think it's terrifying. I mean, this seems potentially like one of the biggest stories of my lifetime, and I don't care if it's about UFOs or whatever you call it. Something that we don't understand is getting very close to our military aircraft.
The technologies related to energy generation should come out first.
This hybrid aerospace underwater craft is able to basically generate an electromagnetic field.
It is President Trump's belief that the United States must remain as dominant in space as we are on land and sea and the air. And your charge is to see to that mission with the United States Space Force.
I mean, there were three people on my team assassinated, and I was almost killed.
With a lot of people that would like to know what's going on.
It's a matter of national security.
But apparently, just recovered, are off-world vehicles not made on this Earth.
The president will respond to the subject the way they want them to. There's a black box with all the technologies that would give us a civilization that's sustainable, peaceful, etc.,
and it's been around for decades.
Everybody's asking the biggest question in the world. Are we alone?
Look, it's holding, it's just stalled out there.
The narrative that's being launched, which is a false narrative, is that we're not alone and that those civilizations are a threat. The problem is that the public has to be informed and involved.
Could be a brief statement saying, hallelujah, I'm finally vindicated.
I'm not completely convinced they're gonna let this stay like it is.
But the people who are surrounding that level of our politicians and government are not told. Like the movie Independence Day, where Wilson, let's go kick alien butt.
And that's one thing that you're going to see very, very soon. Mark my words, write it down. You are going to see direct contact with the aliens. And I believe that 2021, or at the very least, the beginning of 2022, I believe that sometime over the next 12 months, if we're still here, you are going to see verified direct contact with what they call alien life forms. But we know that it's the Genesis 6 giants. And why do we know that? How do we know that? Because we have a King James Authorized Version Holy Bible, and we believe it. That's how we know. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for being a part of this program. And please, if you're thinking about signing up for our Revival Weekend, May 21st and May 22nd, please go to nowtheendbegins.com and please sign up. We would love to have you if you're able to make it. If you're able to travel, we would love to have you come here for on Friday, May 21st, and be here for the opening of the bookstore, the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore, and May 22nd for our all-day, old-time, old-fashioned gospel tent revival. And if you can make it, please come. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning. Excuse my voice. Have a little bit of a frog in my throat there. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning for another NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. Thank you so much for tuning in, and have a great weekend, everybody.
And crown thy good with bread.